Liftoff, Exploring the Universe. Caroline Shackleton and Nathan Paul Turner. Series Editor Bob Hastings. Chapter 1. What's Out There? Xi stared through the window at the spaceport rising up out of the orange rain gas clouds below. She had never seen such noise and filth. In 5 minutes, the ship she was traveling on would touch down in the middle of Shangaport, one of the busiest spaceports still operating on old Terra. A funny feeling, this homecoming that wasn't. Xi knew that she had been born on old Terra, Earth, one of the last of her work group, before their section was sent up to Moonblock 9. Not that they'd stayed long on the moon. Xi was still a baby when her group had moved to Mars after the 65 discovery of uranium on the Red Planet. Since then, Xi had spent most of her 94 years working the rich mines on Mars's unwelcoming surface, going on vacation to the pleasure ships in orbit above. The long-ago memory of green old Terra remained strong in most people's minds, though. And when news had come through of special return permits for a new ecology project that was underway in Sahara, the desert continent, Xi had jumped at the chance. She'd worked in Mars's terrible conditions for 70 years now, so she imagined she could cope with a bit of old Terra desert, no matter what people said. If the project went well, they would take the new technology back to Mars and create a second, more fertile Earth. Looking at the orange storm below, Xi had to admit that Earth was not what she had imagined. We have no way of knowing whether the future of space exploration will be anything like Xi's experience or where present space exploration may lead us. But experiments with living in and exploring space have been going on for over 50 years. The beginnings of space exploration are tied to the Cold War, when political competition between the Soviet Union and the United States moved up into space. Many early achievements were Russian, such as the first rocket to orbit the Earth, 1957, the first astronaut, Yuri Gagarin, 1961, and the first woman in space, Valentina Tereshkova, 1963. The USA responded with its Apollo program, which eventually sent Neil Armstrong to become the first man on the moon in 1969. By the 1970s, however, cooperation was beginning to replace competition, as political relations improved. This led to projects such as the 1998 launch of the International Space Station, to this date the longest inhabited space station. Manned spaceflights are still limited to the exosphere, the highest level of the Earth's atmosphere. No human has ever gone further than our moon. And manned flights to more distant destinations, such as the planet Mars, are still not possible. However, the use of unmanned space probes has a very successful history. These missions are mostly fact-finding missions, but they are also used to test spaceflight technology for later use in manned flights. They can be either orbiters, which take photos from space, or landers, which take information from the planet's surface. Much of what we now know about our neighboring planets, for example, the existence of ice on Mars, has come from successful probe explorations. Rovers are unmanned vehicles that are used to explore planetary surfaces. They have the advantage of being mobile, which means they can travel around and send back information about many areas of a planet. Several countries have successfully landed rovers on Mars. Presently, the USA has a rover, Curiosity, exploring the planet. The information these missions send back may one day allow manned missions to Mars. Chapter 2. At Home in Space. For humans to continue to explore our galaxy, the Milky Way, we will need to be able to live in space for long periods of time. Living long-term in a low-gravity or microgravity environment like space can have harmful effects on the human body. It can make movement difficult, weaken muscles and bone, and cause changes in our immune system, vision, and taste. Although scientists have learned how to solve these problems through exercise, diet, and medicines, astronauts who spend long periods of time in microgravity conditions still find they are very weak when they return to Earth's higher gravity. So far, the record for the longest time spent outside of Earth's atmosphere is held by the Russian astronaut Valery Polyakov, who stayed on the space station Mir for about 14 months to test effects on the human body. Returning to Earth, Polyakov managed to walk from his spaceship to a chair, to the amazement of everyone there. That same day, he is rumored to have said, "We can fly to Mars." Polyakov's experiences showed that astronauts could spend long periods of time in space without suffering long-term problems, although there are still questions about whether humans could live for many years in this kind of environment. Living in space provides other challenges. Space is almost a vacuum, with neither the pressure nor oxygen to support the human body. The low pressure causes swelling and also a drop in blood temperature. Humans exposed to a vacuum would lose consciousness almost immediately. An exposure of more than 90 seconds is deadly. However, the effects are not as dramatic as some Hollywood movies would have us believe, and experiments on animals show strong recovery from exposure of less than 90 seconds. Living and working in space requires special suits and pressurized cabins. A major challenge for astronauts is the low-gravity or microgravity environment, which means they must relearn how to move the body. In this environment, it is as if the body is weightless. In fact, everything floats, even liquids. Of course, this makes normal daily activities such as eating, drinking, and washing much more complicated to do without special equipment. Astronauts often sleep tied into special beds so they do not hurt themselves while they are unconscious. To prepare themselves for this environment, astronauts spend months training underwater. The record for the farthest manned flight was set by the U.S. spacecraft Apollo 13 in 1970 when it went around the far side of the moon, reaching a distance of about 321,868 kilometers from Earth. However, there have been many plans to travel farther. Due to its closeness to Earth, its dramatic red color, and the fact that it's a terrestrial planet, Mars has long been a subject of fascination for both scientists and science fiction writers. 19th-century questions about the possibility of life on Mars turned into 20th-century theories of possible human colonization of the planet. These theories became more realistic once probes had confirmed there is ice on Mars. There have been numerous government as well as private proposals for a manned mission to Mars. Based on probe missions, it is estimated the journey would take 150 to 300 days, depending on the orbits of Earth and Mars, and the amount of fuel used. Given the long time frame, some experts, including Buzz Aldrin, the second man on the moon, have suggested that these missions be permanent colonizations. This proposal has become known as Mars to Stay. Chapter 3. What Lies Beyond? Could Mars one day be a second Earth? While there are many different proposals for the next stage of human space exploration, most experts agree that the next logical stage is the exploration of Mars. There are presently three major proposals for how this should be achieved. Some think we should first set up a base on the moon from which to send missions onwards to Mars. Another option would be to send regular short-term missions to Mars to experiment with living there. However, a much more adventurous option has been proposed: to colonize the planet directly. Mars One, a private Dutch company, proposes to set up a colony on Mars by 2023, sending in new ships of 4 colonists every 2 years. One of the ways they aim to pay for this project is by selling TV rights as a kind of space colony reality TV. While the project has opponents, some experts insist that it is possible with today's technology. The Mars One project claims to have 2 advantages. Simplicity. They only plan to use tried and tested technology that is already available. One-way trips. They do not intend to return any of the colonists to Earth. With a no-return flight, they wouldn't need extra fuel to get off Mars, and their colony wouldn't require expensive technology like nuclear reactors. Instead, they could get the power they need from solar panels. Mars One began the selection of the astronauts in 2013. Whether they will receive the $6 billion they would need remains to be seen. But it is one example of the seriousness with which people are looking at space exploration. Going deeper into space is presently impossible for manned flights. The distances involved are simply too great for ships to successfully support human life. Our solar system has a radius of billions of kilometers. How long would it take to cross such an enormous distance? Well, in fact, we already know the answer, due to the amazing journey of two robotic probes, Voyager 1 and Voyager 2. Launched within weeks of each other in 1977, each Voyager has been traveling in a different direction through the solar system at approximately 500 million kilometers per year. They brought us the first pictures of Saturn and Neptune, and are now reaching the limits of the solar system. So far, the journey has taken them 35 years. Obviously, such a journey for humans would be a voyage of no return, and is presently impossible without a way of producing the necessary air, food, and equipment on the spaceship. Beyond the limits of the solar system, we can only watch from a distance. Not that this technology is any less impressive. Since the beginnings of astronomy, scientists have been constantly improving telescopes and space observatories to better understand the universe. The latest and most powerful telescope is the Hubble, a space telescope launched into orbit above the Earth in 1990. Using the Hubble telescope, scientists have gained great understanding of the nature of the universe, such as its present rate of expansion. Other important Hubble discoveries have been the confirmation of black holes at the centers of nearby galaxies, as well as important information that has helped scientists with new theories of dark matter, the material thought to make up most of the known universe. Chapter 4. Sci-fi. Fantasy is the impossible made probable. Science fiction is the improbable made possible. Rod Serling, science fiction author. Humans have been fascinated with space since long before we knew how to get there. In 1865, the French writer Jules Verne published a novel about three men who traveled in a spaceship to the moon. Just over 100 years later, the USA successfully sent its three-man Apollo 11 spaceship to the surface of the moon. Life had copied art. Verne is a clear example of how human imagination can inspire people to very real technological achievements. The Russian scientist Konstantin Tsiolkovsky, one of the first and most important astrophysics scientists, claimed he was originally inspired by reading Verne's stories. At the end of the 19th century, there were incredible technological advances and wonderful new inventions. With the birth of cinema in the early 20th century, Hollywood began a love affair with space travel and science fiction, which continues to this day. Many early science fiction novels, such as H.G. Wells's The War of the Worlds, were later made into films and shown on the big screen with amazing special effects for the time. Then, original science fiction stories made it to the big screen. These movies helped create a new consciousness about the possibilities of space travel and of life beyond our own planet. In 1938, writer Jerry Siegel and artist Joe Shuster's comic book Superman was published. The hero, an alien from another planet, quickly captured the nation's imagination. Soon, the comic became a radio series, and then in 1948, Superman went to Hollywood. Since then, 9 Superman movies have been made, most recently Man of Steel in 2013. Stanley Kubrick's 1968 movie 2001: A Space Odyssey, based on the short story The Sentinel by Arthur C. Clarke, has become an all-time classic. The movie explores many classic sci-fi topics, such as the nature of consciousness, artificial intelligence, our ethics toward machines, human origins, and our future role in the galaxy. Of course, the film is also essentially about space, and about the fear and fascination we have with what lies beyond the limits of our own world. At the time Kubrick was making 2001, both the American and Russian space programs were well underway. Although humans had not yet set foot on the moon, there had been a number of manned spaceflights, some of which had sent photographs of Earth back to people at home. For the first time, people knew what Earth looked like from space, and also just how small and delicate our world really is. By the 1970s, there were many movies and television series about space travel. Many had one thing in common: human exploration of new worlds. From Star Trek and Battlestar Galactica, set in the future, to Star Wars, set a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, humans were the stars of the show. And yet, our idea of aliens was changing, too. Previously, aliens had been monstrous, insect-like creatures who threatened to destroy humanity. When Hollywood director Orson Welles made a version of War of the Worlds for radio in 1938, thousands of people listening believed Earth was actually being invaded by creatures from Mars, Martians. A terrible panic broke out as people tried to escape from cities across the USA. But now a more complicated view of aliens was taking shape. Star Wars thrilled us with the wealth of its worlds, its religious and political systems, and above all, its alien characters, who are just as likely to be our friends as they were our enemies. Star Trek, one of the longest-running and most popular sci-fi series of all time, seemed to represent everything that most fascinates us about science fiction, with its small group of human travelers exploring strange new planets, amazed by the alien cultures they find there. Star Trek seems to be a winning recipe. It is particularly famous for the obsessive character of its fans, known as Trekkies, who spend fortunes on Star Trek souvenirs and on attending special conferences. What is it about sci-fi shows like Star Trek that fires people's imaginations? Perhaps there is something that calls to our need for exploration, for new experiences and unexplored frontiers. With the whole Earth now mapped, space truly is, in the words of Star Trek's Captain Kirk, the final frontier. While we may have a hunger for exploring these new frontiers, at the moment sci-fi seems the only way of satisfying it. Present space technology is light years behind the expectations of readers and viewers who are used to long-distance space travel, intelligent robots, and teleportation. Although we have put a man on the moon, we are still some years away from sending manned flights to the nearest planet, Mars, and anything farther away seems impossible. And yet, the history of science fiction shows us that humans are remarkably creative, able to take possibilities from today's technology and imagine new situations beyond present scientific understanding. Carl Sagan's Contact, for example, introduces the possibility of using wormholes in space to travel huge distances in time, allowing humans to get around the limitations of rocket-powered travel. Who knows? The science fiction you see on the movie screen or read in a comic book today may one day become scientific fact. Chapter 5. What do you think? We now have the technological means to start colonizing nearby space. But should we? The human population is rising fast. It is predicted to reach 9 billion by 2050. This will severely threaten the natural environment. Many people argue, therefore, that space colonization is an urgent necessity. Others are not so sure. Take a look at some of the arguments for and against colonization and decide what you think. Against. The current costs of space exploration are too high. The money could be much better spent here on Earth. 4. We know that the smallest asteroid near Earth has more metals than humans have mined in their whole history. And on the asteroid Eros, there is more silver, gold, and aluminum than could ever be dug from the Earth. Exploring space will give us all the natural resources we need. Against. The wars and conflicts we see on Earth will only get worse if we expand into space. We should concentrate on creating political unity here before we think about traveling into space. 4. Space exploration will create a sense of unity about our origins and humanity that we now lack. The present level of cooperation on the International Space Station shows that governments can learn to work together and to see the greater good. Against. We are using up our natural resources. We have to reduce industrial production to save our natural environment. Space technology will only worsen our situation. 4. Moving our industrial production into space is the only way to ensure our survival and the protection of our environment. The future colonization of Mars could also provide a new environment for our huge population to live on.